blood of the Lord Jesus. I remember as a young child singing that hymn in a small chapel outside Tewkesbury. My grandfather was the minister there. And in actual fact, it was one of the first chapels I ever preached in. I was 15. And he enabled me and allowed me to preach. And he was very big on this. Keep the main thing. The main thing. And of course, the main thing for us tonight is the cross. As Christians, that's central to our doctrine, central to our theology, central to all that Scripture teaches in God's plan of redemption. It's all about the cross. And friends, you need to go to God, but you can only access God through the cross. If you're a backslider tonight, you need to go back to God via King's Cross. We need the cross. That's our message. We preach Christ and Him crucified. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Please turn with me in your Bibles to Mark's Gospel, chapter 1. We're looking at this little passage tonight, verses 40 to 45 that we read together. And we're introduced to a man with leprosy. And it's interesting that God laid this passage on my heart through the week in light of all that's happening with the coronavirus, this pandemic that's gripping the nations. It's on our news bulletins every hour and on the hour. And of course, for many in these coming days, even in this community, the advice from the government will surely be that you need to self-isolate. I know that there are some families even here at this church have already self-isolating. We have my assistant pastor back in Park, and his family are self-isolating. And when we come to this passage, we're introduced to the severity of this man's condition. This man was a leper. And throughout Scripture, when we come to leprosy, leprosy is a very graphic picture of sin. And so when we think of leprosy, you are either clean or unclean. And tonight, the Scriptures remind us that we're either clean or we're unclean. Or as my old pastor in Gloucester would say, we are either lost or we're found. We're saved or unsaved. And so this man's plight as a leper, leprosy has afflicted him. In Luke's account, it says that this man who approached Jesus was full of leprosy. This isn't just a minor skin complaint. This isn't just an acute version of eczema. This is leprosy, full-blown leprosy, with open sores, disfigurement, stench, smell. This man's plight requires him to stay outside the confines of community life. He stays away. He is outside the camp. He is outside the city. Why? Because he is unclean. And only those who are clean can enter in. Only those who are clean can engage in temple worship. Only those who are clean can rub shoulders with the rest of the community and can continue their business and their work and their lives. But this man, this leper, he is unclean. He is afflicted with this serious disease called leprosy, and there's no cure for this man. He is unclean. And when we read in Scripture about leprosy, it talks about those who were unclean being made clean. Very rarely will you see in our Bible translations where it talks about someone who's unclean being healed. And I think there's a reason for that. And I'm not sure it's a coincidence that as we come to chapter 2, when Jesus enters Capernaum, we have the account of these four friends who bring their friend who is paralyzed on a bed. And because of the vast crowd, they can't get near Jesus. So they make a hole in the roof and they lower their friend on a bed down through the roof into the presence of Jesus. And this is right on the back of Jesus' encounter with this leper. And then we read this. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, listen to what Jesus said. He said, son, your sins are forgiven. This man, paralyzed, hasn't known healing. He's still paralyzed, but he's known cleansing. And leprosy is so severe that it reaches deep down into the person. And so leprosy is a graphic picture in Scripture of sin. No amount of ceremonial washing can rid me of my sin. No good work, no charitable work, no kind deed, no kind act, no kind word can rid me of my sin. And all the other religions in the world tonight are promoting and are sharing and encouraging people to do something in order for them to know cleansing. But the scriptures say that we cannot do anything in order for us to be clean before God. Why? Because we're sinners by nature. In sin, we were born. In sin, we were at our mother's birth, we were shapen in iniquity. We're sinners. And the only remedy for our sin is found by faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. That he shed his blood for us. Why? Because all the Old Testament sacrifices, the old sacrificial system is there to point us to God's perfect sacrifice. John the Baptist said, behold, look, take a good look. The Lamb of God, God's sacrifice for sin. Behold the Lamb of God who has come to take away the sins of the world. And friends, tonight, not just here in Newport, not just here in South Wales, but throughout this land and nation and throughout the world, no good work will save you. No merit of your own can purchase your salvation or for your sin atone. But if you trust the Saviour who bore sin's penalty, he'll grant you his salvation for all eternity. Many years ago, before I came into pastoral ministry, I used to run my own contract cleaning company. And often we were asked to visit homes and businesses. And often we were asked to do the impossible. We have a stain here. One lady in Glenys said to me, she said, we've bought this new carpet, but my husband has spilt red wine on this cream carpet. Are you able to remove the stain? And there are some stains, even for contract cleaners. Stubborn stains, we call them, that cannot be removed. Red wine can, actually. Now, not when I was doing it. They have found something to remove red wine stains. And if you're partial to the odd glass of red wine, then take note. Don't have a cream carpet. Beetroot stains are very difficult. Coffee stains are very difficult. There are some stains that we cannot eradicate. There are some stains we cannot clean. And do you know what people would do? Well, I can't afford a new carpet, she said. So she'd go and buy a rug. A Chinese rug. They were all the fashion 20 years ago. This lovely, from Riola Market, of all places. This Chinese rug, and lay it over the stain. So that when people entered into their home, no one would know what the rug was covering. And we do that. We're so sinful, we do that. We do exactly what Adam and Eve did in the very beginning. Because in the moment they ate of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, what God said happened. That sin came in. As a result and a consequence of their rebellion, their relationship with God is severed. And they try to hide the stain of their shame by sewing fig leaves together. No Chinese rugs available in the Garden of Eden. And so with our human nature, Adam and Eve driven out from the presence of God. Why? Because sin separates us from God. And so leprosy is a graphic picture of sin because it separates this man from community life. He resides, he lives, he exists outside the camp, outside the city. What are you covering your sin with tonight? You know, many people in Wales do know how they cover their sin. A lot of them put on the robes of respectability. Others put the robes of religiosity. What are you using to cover your sin tonight? We look back through church history, particularly here in Wales. We will see that very soon after the great revival of 1904-05, that all those who made professions of faith and the churches were packed and overflowing, but within a few years, they were nowhere to be seen, caught up in a moment, putting on the robe of chapel life. And yet their hearts remained hardened and resistant to the living God. What's your heart like tonight? Can you say that my heart has been washed, has been cleansed? This paralyzed man, he was healed, but initially Christ dealt with his biggest issue. And his biggest issue was he needed to be cleansed. Cleanse me, we sometimes sing, cleanse me from my sin, Lord. Put thy power within, Lord. Take me as I am, Lord, and make me all thine own. So this man with leprosy, he came to Jesus and he begged him on his knees. Now it's interesting, isn't it, that his posture here is one of contrition. He falls on his knees. And he says to the Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. He doesn't take for granted that Jesus will cleanse him. He acknowledges that if the Lord is willing, it's his divine prerogative. Salvation belongs to the Lord. The Lord saves whom he saves. But the interesting thing is this. In Jesus' response, he said, I am willing. And Jesus is still willing. Jesus, filled with compassion, reached out, stretched out. And Jesus did something quite remarkable. Filled with compassion, he reaches out his hand and he does what? He touches this man. Now, we have no idea the last time this man had been touched by another human being. But we know he is filled with leprosy. And we know that Jesus did something that no one else would do. No one else would be willing to do. And did something no one else could do. Jesus reached out and touched him. Have you been touched by the compassionate hand of God? Has he reached out and touched you? I was a 12-year-old boy sat in a log cabin in the middle of the forest of Dean. And this same Lord Jesus, he reached out and touched me. Because in his eyes, I was like this man. My life was ravaged with sin. By nature, I was an object of his wrath. But Jesus Christ came. What did he come to do? Using his spirit, I've come to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to redeem his people. He came to save his people. He came to reach out and touch those who needed cleansing, who needed restoring. Filled with compassion, he touches the man. I am willing. Jesus is willing to save you tonight. He's willing to cleanse you from all your sin. He's willing. I am willing. Be clean. Be clean. When I was a little boy, growing up in Stroud in Gloucestershire, I found the summer holidays quite difficult. They were quite challenging. Because I would do as young boys often do. I'd get myself into a little bit of mischief. I needed to be given boundaries. I needed someone to occupy me and give me something worthwhile, to do something that was beneficial or worthwhile. But often I'd be playing out and about. And then I'd hear my mother call, Andrew. She still calls me Andrew. Andrew. Lunchtime. And in that moment, I'd go running. And I'd go running through the back door, and she'd stand there and say, stop. What are you doing? Well, you called me. I'm responding. And she said to me, yes, but you can't come in here looking like that. Looking like what? And she'd say this, take a good look of yourself. And I'd look. Have a look in the mirror. And I'd look. My clothes would be filthy. My face would be filthy. My hands would be filthy. She said, you cannot come in to my home looking like that. You need to be clean. And to have a bath or a shower, there's something invigorating, isn't there, when you're filthy, you're dirty, and you've been washed. And you step out with clean hair. I can only imagine, okay? You step out with clean hair, clean clothes. And your hands are clean. And then you're welcomed into the dining area. The table's been spread. Come in and dine and eat and feast. And enjoy all that's been prepared for you. And that's what God, through his Son, Jesus Christ, offers us tonight. Come to me. Come and enjoy all that I have prepared for you. But you can't come into my presence looking as you are. You need to be washed. You need to be cleansed. Nothing that defiles can ever enter in. Well, how do I enter his presence? By the blood of Jesus. Because there's power in the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, to cleanse me from all my sin. My sin was laid on him. He took my sin and my sorrows, made them his very own. And what he did, and this is the gospel, he took what was mine and gave me what was his. 'Tis done. Great transactions done. I am the Lord's and he is mine. He took upon himself my sin and my rebellion, and he gave me his glorious robes of righteousness. He presents me to the Father. And one day he'll present me before the Father, perfect. And there'll be exceeding joy. And it'll be all for the glory of our great God. Don't try and enter or draw near as you are. You are a sinner. I am a sinner. We are sinners. Only by grace can we enter. And only through faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross that we can know cleansing from our sin. In the hymn that we'll sing at the end of this evening, there's a line, "Wash me, Saviour, or I die." And most of us will experience physical death unless the Lord comes again. But actually, unless we know the cleansing of our sin, we will never see heaven. We will never see glory. We can never enter into the presence of Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, our Creator, our Sustainer. We need to be cleansed. I'm willing, says Jesus, because this passage reminds us that Jesus is the compassionate Savior. Be clean. And if you ask him tonight for him to wash away your sin, he says, "I'm willing. Be clean." Call out to him in faith. He will say, "I'm willing. Be clean." And then we're told that Jesus, immediately he was cleansed. And Jesus then, in verse 43, sends him away with a strong warning. In the original text, the word here, strong warning, was almost like a snort. He sent him away with a snort. Can you imagine Jesus sending someone away with a snort? Well, we have it here in the NIV. I don't know what the ESV says, but it's a strong warning. And Jesus now is warning him. What does he warn him? He said, "See that you don't tell this to anyone, but rather go and show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Wow, can you imagine? This leper had been living outside the limits of city life and community life. The awfulness of his sin, of his leprosy, his disease, a picture of sin, the stench, the wounds, the sores, the disfigurement. It's an awful picture, but it's real. And he's cleansed. And Jesus says, "Don't go telling anyone now. But go and show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices." Leviticus 13. I won't go through them tonight, but it's a passage. Great bedtime reading. Gripping. But go. Show yourself to the priest that he may know that God is still amongst us. That he may know that God is still at work. But what does he do? He goes and tells everyone. And I'm sympathetic to the man. Because probably I do the same. I'm clean. I've now been admitted to everyday living. I can now go and worship in the temple. I'm clean. I was unclean. Now I'm clean. In Leviticus 13, we read of this time. Initially 7 days, and on the eighth day, specific sacrifices are made. Blood is shed. And the picture is very graphic of how without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sin. And part of what happens following those sacrifices is that the priest will take some of the blood shed from the one lamb, and he puts a bit of blood on the right earlobe. Bit of blood on the right thumb. Bit of blood on the right. He does likewise with the oil. Oil in Scripture is often a picture of the Holy Spirit. Bit of oil on the right earlobe, right thumb, the right toe. It's a very powerful picture of what God does for us through his Son. It's a powerful picture of what God does for his people through redeeming them and restoring them. That the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses all that we hear, cleanses all that we touch, cleanses our actions, and cleanses the sins of those places that we go to. And then the oil comes, picture of the Holy Spirit, that by the blood, because of the blood, that the penalty, the price for sin has been paid. And because of the blood, and now the Holy Spirit enables us to understand that through his blood we can be cleansed. And so the Holy Spirit enables us to hear God, to hear his word. He enables us to, and grants us a desire to serve him, and to walk with him, and to walk in his ways. It's a very powerful picture. If you've been cleansed tonight, you can say, praise God, I'm clean on account of the shed blood of Jesus Christ on the cross. I'm his, and he's mine. And so the Holy Spirit will enable us to hear what God says, and we respond and we serve him. We're not passive, we serve him. And we walk with him. We don't run ahead of him or lag behind. We walk with him. He walks with me. He talks with me a long, life's narrow way. What's the consequence of this man's actions? Look at verse 45. Instead, he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. In a sense, that's what God wants us to do tonight, to go out freely and freely and naturally spread the news that there's hope in this world. There's forgiveness available in this world between us and God. Cleansing is available. I know where to go for my sins to be washed away. I know a fount where sins are washed away. I know a place where night is turned to day. Burdens are lifted. Blind eyes made to see. There's a wonder-working power in the blood that flows on Calvary. But what's the consequence of this man's actions? Here we have it, verse 45. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places, in isolated places. Yet the people still came to him from everywhere. Do you see what's happened in this story? The leper who was unclean encounters Jesus, who reaches out with compassion, who is willing to cleanse him. And the leper now changes places with Jesus. You see, Jesus was freely moving from town to town and village to village. The leper wasn't. The leper existed and lived outside the camp, outside the confines of the city. Do you see that they've actually changed places? Because now, at the end of this account, the leper is enjoying community life. He's enjoying life. Abundant life. He's clean. But Christ Jesus, the Son of God, is no longer able to stay within the towns and cities. He now takes the place of being outside the camp. And a little while later, it's a reminder that's exactly what he did for you and for me. He was willing to go outside the camp for you. He was willing to go outside the camp for me. As a child, we used to sing that lovely old traditional Easter hymn, "There is a green hill far away, outside a city wall, where the dear Lord was crucified, who died to save us all." You see the picture? Here's a picture here. This is what Christ does for you and for me. He's willing to go outside the camp. He's willing to bear our sin and shame. He's willing to bear our sin so that you could go free, that you might know the forgiveness of God. And he died and rose again that you might have abundant life. Eternal life. Life in all its fullness. And so, with the coronavirus raging throughout our land tonight, you know, there's probably people in this room now that has and is infected with the coronavirus. And you don't even know it. You're oblivious to it. And yet the virus is real. It just hasn't manifested itself thus far. And when you go to work tomorrow, and when you look at your work colleague, or when you speak to your neighbour, or when you speak to your unconverted relative, perhaps they're oblivious to the greater issue in their life that they're affected with. The issue and the problem of their sin. And they're oblivious to it. Sure, we might say that their sin often manifests itself in various ways, just like my sin does. Ask my wife. Ask my family. Sin is serious. But praise God tonight. This is good news. This is great news. Praise God tonight that there is a remedy for sin. My open sins, my secret sins can all forgiven be. There's a remedy. And the remedy for sin is found in the cross of Jesus. And maybe tonight, you're sitting here and you've never ever cried out to God in the name of Jesus for cleansing. But you can. You can do it now. He will hear you. The psalmist says this: "I cried to the Lord in my distress. He heard me. He answered me. He saved me." And what he's done for others, he can do for you. But the sad thing is that there are many people in this city tonight They have no idea the seriousness of their sin. And so graciously, but truthfully and honestly, they need to be exposed to the truth. They need to know. And his word, which is truth, will convict, will convert, and will ultimately set people free. Paul, writing to young Timothy, says that from a child you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you what? Wise unto salvation. Friend, don't lose confidence in the power of God's word tonight. It's powerful. And where sin abounds, God's grace does much more abound. Some years ago, we had a group of Americans from Atlanta, Georgia, with us. And I went to see a single mother on one of our estates in Merthyr Tydfil. Her partner had been in and out of prison for many years. At that time, he was in a Christian rehabilitation center. She had three delightful children. And I went to see her with two American ladies. And as we were there, one of the American ladies said to her, "Samantha, what do you really want?" It's an interesting question. What do you want tonight? There are times when Jesus asked people, "What do you want me to do?" And I'll never forget the answer that Samantha gave. She said this: "I just want to be clean." A young girl growed up on a housing estate on the outskirts of Merthyr. She couldn't articulate the gospel. She couldn't articulate the seriousness of her sin, her depravity, that she had a sinful nature. She couldn't articulate any of that. But she knew in her heart that she was dirty. "All I want is to be clean." And these two ladies knelt with her in the middle of the living room and told her this story. When this leper says to Jesus, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." To which Jesus responded, "I am willing. Be clean." And in that moment, when Samantha herself said, "Lord Jesus, make me clean," I believe just as this leper was cleansed immediately, so was Samantha. People out there tonight need the cleansing power of Christ's blood. And God's going to use you. He's going to use you as a church to reach out with compassion and say, "The Lord Jesus Christ is still willing. He's still able. Doubt no more. Be clean." And what Jesus says and what Jesus does will last forever. This is God's word, and we thank him for it. Well, let's close our time this evening by singing together, "Rock of Ages."